From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Wednesday, June 12th, 2025. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gonna cheese, hawa, tuxknusum, salama. Thank you for joining the conversation. You may also join us for a behind-the-scenes look in the studio via our live stream on YouTube at ktoo.org/JPM Live or on KTOO's Facebook and Instagram pages. Today, Clinkett and Haida launches a new cultural and economic space in downtown Juneau, on HIT. Juno John Hayes from Juno Piano Series is here to preview two concerts happening in June, and we talk with Trina Lynch Jackson, a regular visitor to the Juno Senior Center, and learn about the services she uses and what's available to seniors here in Juno. Plus, the latest Tongass Voices coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Keishi Bessie Cooley. And the word this week is sock.
Sock.
That means hooligan. And here is a sentence.
Sock ichi.
People light hooligan grease. Let's hear it again.
Sock.
Hooligan. Gunas chish to Hune Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Keishi Bessie Cooley is Kokhetan and a child of a Yenyedi man. She is from Daisleen, Teslin, and grew up spending time in Teslin and around Teslin Lake. She earned a master's degree in Indigenous Languages and Linguistics from Simon Fraser University and interviewed many speakers for the Hashagun language series. She is currently translating projects for the Children of the Taku Society.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
You are listening to Community Support in Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Ok Bay, and online at ktoo.org. You can also join us on the live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. It's like we're everywhere, all the time, all at once. I'm Boston Christopher. So next week on June 19th, Clinkett and Haida is having a grand opening of a new cultural and economic hub in downtown Juneau. It's from 5 to 7 p.m. The location is 219 South Franklin, and it's called On Hit. However, there will be a soft opening in a couple of days. We'll get to that. And today I'm joined in the studio by Cassandra Cropley and Chatham Timothy to share more about it all. Gunath Chish, Hatye Adi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you both in the studio today. Wasaiti, how are you, Cassandra?
Good, how are you?
I'm excellent. Yake. And what about you, Chatham? How are you?
Hanging in there, man.
You guys are busy.
Yep.
Yes.
And so let me get this out of the way first. So this is going to be a really cool new economic and cultural hub. There's all kinds of components. We'll get to all the breakdown of what that's going to be. But tell me first how each of you are involved on this particular project. We'll start with you, Cassandra.
So I'm Cassandra Cropley. I am the on-hit manager for our new retail space.
Okay, that's awesome. And what about you, Chatham?
I'm Chatham Timothy. I'm the director of hospitality for the tribe, and I'm helping getting this project off the ground, and then I will be overseeing the coffee shop portion of the business going forward.
Sacred Grounds expanding from their wonderful location right over here next to KTOO, or pretty close. It's in within walking distance. Go down there all the time. That's cool. There's going to be another location down there at 219 Franklin Street, so that's kind of cool. Okay, so we got that away. Gonna cheese for that. So how did this project on HIT come about? How do we want to start? Yeah, start with you, Chatham.
So the building has been available for a while, and it just the tribe saw it as an opportunity to do what we keep calling our land back project, and purchasing pieces of land in Juneau back for the tribe and turning it into economic value for the citizens of the tribe.
Okay, so this building had just been kind of available mm-hmm. for sale kind of thing?
And, yep.
And you all said, hey, why not? Yeah, yep. Take a space and get into the downtown marketplace a little bit.
Correct.
Yeah, kind of cool. And where is it? I know it's at 219 South Franklin, but where is that on the way there? What's close by, I guess?
Oh, man, that's a great question. We're right next to the Starfish Donuts and
Fudge
Factory.
Okay, all right. You were just a little bit down the way there. Yeah, okay, yeah, gotcha. The second location of Fudge Factory that opens up in the summertime,
yep.
right? Yeah, okay. Now, is this planned to be open year-round?
Currently, yes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool. I love that.
Yeah.
Because so much of the stuff down that way just kind of disappears.
It gets real quiet in that neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah. So it's really nice to have that. Okay. So then I'm curious, like, what was decided in terms of what would go in there? So you buy the building and then you say, okay, now we have the space.
Mm-hmm.
What do we do with it? How did you decide to figure out what was going to go in there?
A lot of that got decided before we even jumped onto the project, but they were like, we're going to throw a coffee shop in there, and we really want to buy wholesale art from tribal citizens and be able to resell that, and then also have tables, artist market vendor tables, available for people to purchase every day. And so if anybody wants to go sell their earrings or necklaces or, you know, whatever art they would like, muffins, they can purchase a table for the day and have a place that they can sell their own goods.
Oh, wait a second. So, Cassandra, there's going to be availability for folks to sell their wares on a day. Like, they could just say, I want to come just for today. Like,
yep.
They could even
Absolutely.
Be coming in from Southeast somewhere and say, hey, I want to come in. And
yes. So,
okay.
There's the certified tribal artist tables that will be available, $50 a day to come down and sell all your arts. And, we have a form stack on our Facebook page that you can go to sign up to essentially get a table down at OnHit. Or you can email us at onhit@clinkinandhyda.gov to mm-hmm. get the form stack to get your table for the day.
Awesome. Okay, that's cool. Now, is that limited to tribal members, or is that open to others as well?
Right now, it is for certified tribal artists.
Okay, certified tribal artists.
Yep.
Okay, so that's good to know. So, if you are one or you know one and you're listening, that is the thing to do.
Yeah.
Or if you want to become one, we have forms as
well. Oh, okay.
To
so
do that.
How do you do that? What is the process?
It's another form that we can send. To get people signed up to get those classes to get it done.
I see. Okay. So you just have to take a few classes and then you're a certified tribal artist.
Yep. And we'll give you stickers and things of that nature so that you can put it on your goods. Say,
hey,
this is a certified, you know, made by a Klinkenhyda citizen and sold by a Klinkenhyda citizen. So really kind of closing that loop of like whose stuff is whose that they're selling, you know?
Yeah. That's awesome. That's really cool. So let's talk about what else is in there. You're the manager of the whole thing. Okay, so you're overseeing. Now, I know that that there is, at Clinkit and Hyda, there's like a the business office, which is sort of helping different businesses get started, right? Mm-hmm. Sort of like as a financial sponsor umbrella, whatever that would be, to help tribal members create a business, right?
Yep.
Is that part of this at all in terms of the possibilities, or is something like the vendor tables what you're doing for that?
That portion of the tribe ran out of grant funds this last year. And so that has been closed up. So this is another way that we can kind of help give back.
Okay. That's a bummer. I thought that was a really cool program.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that was like, wasn't that sponsoring like the car wash and it was helping?
The car wash still exists.
Still exists, though. Okay,
and,
good.
You know, we've got the Driftwood and catering company, Smokehouse Catering.
So there's
a bunch of enterprises that we're in, you know, bingo.
Yeah.
But as far as like having funds that we can dole out and help start small businesses, a lot of those have dried up with the changing
Gotcha.
Times.
Okay. So OnHit is really like a Because I know there's going to be a retail shop where you can find other Northwest Coast native products and various other things. So it's sort of like a front-facing business for Tlingit and Haida in a way.
Yep.
Right? Okay, that's kind of cool. So tell me what's in there in the on-hit, Cassandra.
So we'll have the Sacred Grounds coffee shop right next.
Part two.
Yes.
Right?
And then we will have our retail shop.
Okay.
And which you can also shop exclusive Tlingit and Haida merchandise and some beautiful tribal citizen wholesale art and authentic Northwest Coast native made products.
Okay.
And our artisans tables will be upstairs on the second floor. And then we also have inside the building as well as our third floor where we have our printing and engraving for our Tlingit and Haida merchandise.
Oh, wow.
So we'll be making a lot of, like, actually manufacturing the products in-house and then bringing them downstairs to sell.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. That's kind of cool. What's the hope, Chatham, for this space?
The space is that it does well and that we give another touch point to the community.
Yeah.
Right. But the overall hope of this is to create, like, economic freedom for the tribe. Right. So when the tribe gets grant funds, there's earmarks and there's only so many ways we can spend that money. But when we create businesses that create unrestricted funds, we can spend that money on the tribe or the city any way we want. And so it gives us the freedom to not be restricted on how we want to take care of our citizens.
Gotcha. Okay. So it gives, yeah, because a lot of times when you get grant money, it is like it's got to be done for a specific thing.
Yeah.
Right? So this gives you a little bit more operating capital.
Yeah. Say
capital.
If you want to do like a food handout, right? Like we lost a lot of those grants in the transition this last year.
Mm-hmm.
And we've worked with some new like funders to recoup those funds in other ways.
Yeah.
But this is just another way that if like we can take care of ourselves with our own money.
Okay. And so what is the plan, Cassandra, for hours and such for OnHit?
So we are looking to be open 7 days a week,
okay,
at least 12 hours a day. So we are shooting for 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Monday. Every day of the week.
Yeah, all the days.
All the days.
All the days. I love that. That's cool. So, yes, and especially it's kind of awesome that you're opening right here in the summer season, I bet.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably a little more stressful, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to get open as quick as possible.
Okay. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. We're talking about On Hit or Village House, which is a new renovated space from this building that was I think I'll have you talk about that in a second because I know there's a little bit of history on the building too. Mm-hmm. But it's a grand opening and it's going to be on the 19th from 5 to 7 p.m. And there is going to be some kind of fun activities on that day from 5 to 7 on the 19th?
Yes. Yeah, so June 19th is also Tlingit and Haida Day.
Okay.
So we will have our grand opening that day. We'll have some light refreshments, be able to meet some of our artists, explore the space, and just help celebrate a pretty big milestone for the tribe.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, I'm going to pull up this picture for the stream here, which shows a picture of the building and gives the date and time again, which is kind of cool. And so there'll be a little bit of a celebration on that day. Now, I mentioned a soft opening.
The softest.
The softest of openings, which is attempting to be this coming Monday?
Yes.
Okay. So at some point on Monday, maybe not right at 7 a.m., but at some point on Monday, maybe the space will open and people can start gathering in and seeing what it's all about.
Yep, our systems will be ready, and we'll start testing them out live then. So
yeah,
bear with us that day.
Are you? What are you doing now? Are you in the process of like stocking it and getting everything transferred over and
yes,
doing all that?
Yes, everything.
A lot of inventory tagging, putting SKUs into POSs, like all the fun stuff of running a business.
Yeah, that's yes. There's a lot going on there, right?
Oh, yeah,
mm-hmm. It's not just going to work in the office every day. A retail sort of establishment is a little bit different. So I mentioned the building itself. Now this, you said this building had been sitting there. And it was originally built in like 1913 or something like
building.
That. Yeah. It's an old building.
Yeah.
Okay. So what was involved in the renovation? Did you all have to renovate it?
No, we partner with McGraw Construction, and they work with our Southeast General Contractors, and they remodeled it together. So we brought in engineers and designers, and they came up with a plan, and we're just taking kind of ownership from their construction part this last week. So
wow,
we're kind of just stepping into the space, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, that's
awesome.
They did
an absolutely fantastic job. So.
I can't wait to see it. I think my favorite part is the artisan vendor tables.
Yes.
Because there'll be a constant rotation, mm-hmm. right? There'll be a constant, every time you go in, you don't know who's going to be there.
Yep.
It could be any tribal citizen, certified tribal citizen from anywhere in yeah. Southeast, yeah. really. Or, I mean, even if they live outside, but they come in back to yeah. town, they've got yeah. some
come
art.
They come from California. I mean, yeah. our citizens are all over the place, so.
And what kind of things are you hoping that particular artisan vendor tables will be? Obviously, I know there's going to be earrings, and I know there's yes. going to be jewelry because yeah. the Juno earring game is on point. But what other kinds of things are you hoping will be there, Cassandra?
I hope to see some of our jelly makers to come down to sell their stuff. You know, basically any native arts.
Yeah.
We're just looking to see who wants to come down and sell all their stuff.
Maybe some cedar hats.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. So
it would be great
that
to see
cool.
all kinds of arts that we have to offer here in Southeast.
Yeah. So the call is out, right? So how do remind me again, Cassandra, how vendors or folks who are certified tribal artisans get a table? They have to just go to the Facebook page and find
yes,
a link or what?
It's posted on our Facebook page
okay.
and we can continue to post it as needed
yeah.
and we'll get it out there on every platform that we have to offer. But on our Facebook page, you just type in On Hit vendor table and it should pull up a form stack form for you to fill out. And it gets submitted to us. We'll review and we'll see what our availability is for that day or if they're looking for a particular day or we can offer what days are available.
I see. Yeah. Okay.
And so once they're in the system, like they've done the form stack once, they can just reach back out to us and be like, hey, I would like to get another day. And we'll just pencil them in.
How many tables will there be?
We have 5 set up right now.
5 set up. Okay. That's awesome. What a wonderful thing. Again, this is a grand opening. It's on Clinkett and Haida Day, which is also Juneteenth Day, mm-hmm. which is June 19th, next Thursday. And you can join them. Tribal citizens, community members are welcome into the space on June 19th from 5 to 7 p.m. It's at 219 South Franklin Street. It's On Hit. Part of the Land Back Initiative from Clinkett and Haida, which is very cool. Well, thank you, Cassandra Chatham, for coming in today. Did we get everything in? Is there anything else that we need to mention?
I think that covers the gist of it. We just want to see people come up, and we're always looking for wholesale artists and table artists, so please reach out to us.
I love that. Okay. Well, Gwyneth Cheese for being here today. I really appreciate it. Okay, up next is Tongass Voices, a series from KTO sharing weekly perspectives from the homelands of the Occoquan and beyond. The Alaska State Museum in Juneau houses a collection of tens of thousands of objects, from plants and canoes to the state's last publicly accessible theater organ. But how do you maintain all of those items? Well, that's conservator Ellen Carley's job.
I could actually talk about what's in this lab for hours on end. As we go past here, I've got these pH strips. They measure the alkalinity or acidity of surfaces. You just get these damp and you press it gently to the surface. And in that way, we're able to understand if we've got crizzling on the beads, which is a deterioration phenomenon. So we've been sharing and teaching that technique to kind of our study group. I'm Ellen Carley. I'm the conservator here at the Alaska State Museum in Juneau. And my job at the museum is to know what everything is made out of and how it deteriorates over time and how to make it last for as many generations as I can. Conservator, like a museum conservator, is a strange profession that people don't find themselves familiar with. I think there might be a grand total of 5 people in all of Alaska who have that job. And it's really a combination of art and science. So my training background is in chemistry, art history, studio art, anthropology, our culture, my culture, my Euro-American culture, does not typically mix art and science. But it is really, for some of us that are built that way, it is a really rewarding career. Here we are in the Alaska State Museum Objects Conservation Lab. There's a window into the lab right off the atrium that the Eagle Tree is in, so you can peek into the lab. And I usually keep a table in front of this window that has kind of our latest, greatest projects and collaboration. Right now, the window into the lab has some of our bead study group collaboration. We're doing a survey of the glass beadwork in the collection and monthly study groups with beaders and culture bearers about what the beaded items are and how to preserve them. And probably in the coming years, we'll have a bead exhibit that might hopefully be co-curated by some of those participants. So if we're going to make things last for future generations, we have to know how they're deteriorating and what our role in having them deteriorate is. For example, up until very recently, until I had a bead worker as an intern a couple years ago, I didn't realize that glass beads could fade, and particularly pinks and purples fade. So our previous advice had been that glass colorants are very stable, and if you put them on exhibit, you don't have to worry too much about the light levels. But now we know if you put glass beads on exhibit, particularly if they have pinks and purples from a certain historical period, you better be careful about the light levels because you could fade those pinks and purples, and then what the artist had intended things to look like won't be as obvious. Museums know about certain kinds of deterioration mechanisms with glass, but bead artists know things that museums don't about what's going wrong with beads. In contemporary beads, like certain beads have coatings and dyes and they could fade. That's what we have up in the window there. We have some beads hanging in the window for trying to make them fade on purpose. And we have little vials of solvents to kind of show how some of the beads are not as stable as we might think glass might be. So we're learning that from the beaders and the bead workers. So it used to be in museums that the museum staff was the authority. You know, we went to school, we had these elaborate degrees, and we would be the deciders and the authority. And nowadays, that's changing, and it's changing fast. And I think the Alaska State Museum is doing a good job at realizing that all of us are smarter than any of us, and these collections belong to Alaskans. And there are experts in the Alaskan community who know a lot more than we do about these materials. So bringing in the culture bearers, the materials experts, the artists, the folks to whom these collections matter the most, and collaboratively together looking at museum collections and deciding how best to care for them for the future is kind of the wave of the future.
That's Ellen Carley, the Alaska State Museum Conservator, on this week's Tongass Voices. You're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
Hansen Gress, Ka eat with the shoe ye, we kashuk a ye tin. Jin kat ka ke jin tak anachaya ha anikach, gunish cheese.
This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. You can also join us on the in-the-studio, behind-the-scenes live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. The Juno Piano Series, in collaboration with the Juno Arts and Humanities Council and sponsorship from AARP Alaska, presents quality piano recitals featuring musicians from Alaska and beyond. And this June, they have two concerts on tap, and I am joined now by John Hayes, the brains and the brawn behind this venture. Gunath Cheese, Sha Igudi, thank you so much, John. It's a pleasure to see you again.
Wasiniti. Yeah, same. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. So, summer series in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of fun. And back to back, boom, boom. The first concert is tomorrow night, June 13th at 7 p.m., and it's at the Jack, the Juno Arts and Culture Center. And, of course, since it's sponsored by the Jack, I'm assuming that's where we find information and tickets and stuff is at the Jack.
Yes, if you go to their Jack box office page, you can get the tickets there.
Yeah, gotcha.
It encouraged to buy tickets beforehand because it's an extra $5 at the door.
At the door. So. Okay, so that's good to know. But you can head it over to jahc.org to find information on getting that all figured out. So let's talk about the first program, which is tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. Who's playing?
I will be playing.
John Hayes will be
performance,
playing.
Okay. And it is a program of two big pieces.
Okay.
And then a very small piece at the very end.
Okay.
So I've got Beethoven's Sonata Opus 109, which is his third to last sonata he wrote in his life, very okay. late in his life. So it's kind of a big deal.
Mm.
You know, it shows sort of Beethoven's late style because he was a composer that changed a lot through his lifetime.
Is he the one that also went deaf?
Yeah.
So is he writing this after he's...
Yes. This would have been, I'm guessing slightly, but maybe 10 to 15 years after he was already basically couldn't hear anything.
How difficult do you think that... I mean, I know he'd been composing his whole life. But
right.
How difficult would that be?
I think, like, if you're a composer like that, you have the music theory skills that you can sort of theoretically write mm-hmm. things out. But at the same time, you are divorced from your, like, immediate feedback of experimenting with things, perhaps.
Yeah, like, but if you're working with the group or the whoever's conducting for you,
yeah.
you're not able – you have to really put your trust in whoever's yeah. helping you to get it done.
And but I think also it maybe gives us freedom to the writing where it's like you're working with, like, ideas to such a a larger extent where it's like – and there's a lot of, like, really inventive stuff in his late piano writing that is very, like, not about a melody or a chord or something. It's about, like, a certain sonic effect that the piano can make.
And that may become because he had lost his hearing.
I mean, throughout his whole life, even before he was deaf, he definitely wrote for the piano in a way that was, like, asking for more than the piano of his time could produce.
Interesting.
Realistically. Okay. I mean, like, early 1800s or late 1700s, like, pianos were, like, a totally different instrument.
Really? How so?
Just a lot smaller. So they didn't have, like, a steel frame to, like, tether all those strings and stuff on it. So, like, literally Beethoven would break pianos playing on them. you know, it makes it sound like he's a super wild man.
Right.
But it's also just, like, indicative of, like, these were much smaller and delicate kinds of instruments at the time. But his music was like piano solo, but it's like, let's make it like a symphony.
Yeah, right. Okay. So is it a challenge to play that?
Oh, yeah.
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 But
but you got it.
But
you're
not
a
the worst. It's not the worst thing on the program.
Right. Awesome. Oh, it's not. Okay.
No.
And so tell me what else is on the program.
This Franz Liszt, the Sonata in B minor.
Okay.
So, and it is like 30 minutes of continuous music. There's no breaks or stops at any point.
Wow.
And it just, it's definitely like a sort of mountain that a lot of pianists want to climb.
When you think about doing that, like, I'm curious in terms of, because it's continuous for 30 minutes, the kind of focus that you must have in order to... Because it's just you, right?
Yeah.
This is a piano recital, essentially, right?
Yeah.
And so the timing of it and all of that, you're keeping that in your head and the changes and you have to are you playing from you don't memorize the music?
I memorize it, yeah.
You memorize it?
Yeah.
Do you still have the paper just in case?
No.
No.
It would be a little distracting for me.
Because you have to page it,
switch.
Turn it, or
yeah.
hit your foot on your iPad pedal to
or
turn the
whatever
it is.
Yeah.
Whatever those tricks are. So you have it all in your head.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
so that's intense focus, yeah?
It's an intense piece, like, emotionally, too. Like, it's, you know, I think... I feel like a lot of Liszt's music sort of requires maybe a certain kind of skills that, like, actors have. Where
that's
it's like
what I'm thinking.
You need to, like, feel that piece.
You got to be in it. You got to be in the moment.
And if you're not, then it's kind of a little unconvincing.
Interesting. You know? Well, is this what you sent me, the sample?
A sample, yeah. Okay, this is so not me playing.
This is not you playing, yeah. But this is a sample of what you will hear tomorrow from John at his concert at the Jack at 7 p.m. tomorrow. Here's a little sample of that. Just a little sample. Boy, that sounds like almost more than one person playing.
It's athletic.
Yeah, I would say that.
You also like make a mistake if you are only doing the athletics.
Right.
You know,
it's there's like, art to it too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those pieces that for me feels like encapsulates like a whole lifetime of like experiences. You know, it kind of opens the very beginning with like the sort of like hesitant heartbeat thing. The very last thing that happens is just like one, the lowest B on the piano. That's just like, I don't know. There's just like,
yeah,
so much there. And it's like really compact with the musical themes and motifs. There's like four or five distinct like musical ideas.
Wow.
And that almost is like everything draws from those same ideas, but permutated in different ways. So it could be like it could be like a devil laughing or something like that. But then that theme is transformed to be like a love song where it's like the same shape of melody and all that. But
yeah. Wow. And so that is harder than the Beethoven.
Oh, yeah. No, the Beethoven is a great piece.
I'm sure. I'm just saying because that sounds intense, like 30 minutes nonstop, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. And you have three pieces, so there's one more?
Right after the Liszt Sonata, I'm playing a Consolation by Liszt. It's a short and sweet little piece. I think it's just a nice way to cap off the evening.
Ah, nice. After. Okay. Yeah, after you've done that, then it's a little bit. It's like the resolve at the end, or the denouement, or whatever you want to say.
Sort of a built-in encore.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay, that's kind of cool. And so that's tomorrow. That's the first. And is this the only two concerts in the summer for Juno Piano Series?
Yeah, it'll cap off the.
So there's two concerts for the Juno Piano Series. One's tomorrow, Friday, June 13th, 7 p.m. at the Jack. And that is going to be John Hayes is playing, and sounds like an awesome program. And then tell me a little bit about next week's program, because it's another next week, Friday, June 20th, also at 7 o'clock at the Juno Arts and Culture Center. And this is a returning member of the Juno Piano Series.
A lot of people know him. Alexander Tutanov will be coming to town for that concert. I mean, I've said this before, but Tutanov is like, he's one of my main teachers from undergrad, and a lot of different people that have come on the piano series have also studied with him, and just a very formative person for me and many people. So I feel like without him, I don't think I'd be the person I need to be to like do piano series, you know, he is an amazing Russian conservatory trained pianist, but also just like an incredible human being. Mm. And I think like he makes those two qualities meet in a way that people can tell
when you
play the music like that.
And what's he going to be playing?
Kind of a similar two big pieces kind of program. He has Beethoven's Appassionata Sonata and Schumann Carnival.
Okay.
I'm not super prepared to talk about the Carnival, but it's a very fun, eclectic piece.
Yeah.
So it's based on sort of a European carnival party tradition, I guess, where it's like you have these festivals or carnivals going on and you have people in masks sort of playing characters.
Yeah.
So there's like these set types of people. There's like a buffoon character. Mm. There's like the flirt, and there's like people fighting and doing sort of clownish things.
And that's all reflected.
Yeah,
in
I think the carnival is the piece is like it's a lot of movements.
Yeah,
a lot of very like short movements all in a row.
Oh, that's kind of fun. You know?
But it sort of all comes together and. Beautiful ways.
That's great. Well, I know you can get the tickets and find information at jahc.org because that who you work in collaboration with for the Juno Piano Series. But where do we find the Juno Piano Series? Can we find it on socials?
There is a Facebook page.
Facebook page.
Juno Piano Series.
Juno Piano Series. You can follow for more and see what John has in store beyond the summer. Because this is, where are we at in terms of years here? This is like your
first year was fall 2018.
Okay.
So
coming up on
there's one year off.
Right, obviously. You know. Yeah. But about 8 years or so you've been doing this, or 7, 8 years, That's cool. So we'll look forward to the summer series from Juno Piano Series, as well as looking forward to more in the fall.
Yeah.
Awesome. And you can find out more at Facebook. Just search Juno Piano Series or go over to jahc.org. John, thank you so much for coming. And Gunsheesh.
Thank you.
Really appreciate you being here today. Okay, up next, we will talk with the Juno Senior Center. This is Juno Afternoon from KTOO. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com.
KTOO is doing a big push to raise the final dollars needed to hit the membership goal for the year. Every gift goes right into creating and broadcasting the programming you depend on. Take a moment now to renew your membership, make an additional gift, or give for the first time at ktoo.org. Or if you're old school and already a member, just use the envelope we sent you to pop your check in the mail before the end of the month. Thanks.
From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Mike Lane. Today is Thursday, June 12th, and on this day in 1949, the new Juno Airport Terminal, the first municipally owned airport terminal in Alaska, was dedicated. The building contained Alaska Coastal Airlines, Pan American Airways, Pacific Northern Airlines, and the U.S. Customs, as well as three telephone booths, a taxicab office, and a nursery, which was considered a novel feature at the time. That's a look back at this day in 1949.
Once upon a midnight sun, I begged it all away. I fell to my knees and I closed my eyes to pray, and I said, oh, it's all right. Oh, let it go. Magic came and went away and tore this place in two. I came running from the north to fill the space by you, and I said, ooh, let it in. Ooh, let it in. And maybe it's true, I'm just a little lost, but I'd be nowhere without it all. Oh, time and again.
That's a little Dara Relatos from this past April's Folk Festival. She came in on the red carpet stage. That song I thought was appropriately titled Midnight Sun, because we're almost there. We're almost to the solstice. One more week or so of the light going up, and then we start going down, which is totally fine. That's okay. This is Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. And the Juno Senior Center provides free meals to local seniors, as well as activities that are also free. They offer congregant meals and home-delivered meals to homebound seniors every Monday through Thursday. And welcome back to Juno Afternoon. I have three guests with me today. Aaron Walker Tolis, Gunath Chishwasiti. How are you, Aaron?
I'm great. Thanks for having us.
Executive Director of the
Executive Director, 10 years at Catholic Community Service.
Wow, which has so many programs, Junior Senior Center being just one of them.
Just one of many.
And, of course, Stephanie Dusher, welcome back. Gunath Chish, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. And your role?
I'm the Outreach and Activities Coordinator.
Ah, you get everything going.
Yeah.
And then I also have Trina Lynch Jackson returning to the program, who was here, I think, a couple months ago, which was awesome. Gunath Chish, how are you today?
Amazing.
Amazing.
Yes.
And what's really special about today is Trina is a Senior Center user.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I'm really curious about that because a lot of times we get folks coming in and talking about the services, mm-hmm. but it's also nice to hear about people who are actually using the service. So let's start there, Trina. Tell me a little bit about how you found the Senior Center.
Well, socialization is extremely important as it relates to being seasoned. I'm going to call myself seasoned Boston as opposed to senior. I am seasoned.
I like that. I'm going to start using that too because I'm close.
And I don't care for cooking. So to be able to go there and to know that I'm going to get a healthy, nutritious meal because that's important by a chef. Chef Dale is amazing. And the meals that are served, I appreciate him coming out after meals have been served to check on us, to make sure they're okay, and that's important. The plating of the meals are first class. I'm talking, I don't even want to say cruise ship. I'm talking one of the best restaurants you could possibly go to. So that's important. If anyone ever walks into that area, you're going to hear someone laughing unbelievably. And guess who it is, Boston?
It's you.
It's me. Oh, my goodness. I, whatever table I sit at, it is laughter and joy. And that is critical, especially with what we've been through in the past. So knowing that I can go there Monday through Thursday, go to ceramics on Mondays and Wednesdays because we have ceramics and we have ladies there that have an expertise because, again, I'm just learning. So we're able to purchase a mold and then we sit and we're able to paint and there's someone there to guide us. They pour the molds, so we don't have to do any of that. So
oh,
it's
nice.
Easy breezy on Mondays and Wednesdays.
Okay.
I don't play bridge. However, there's bridge on Monday, and you just see the joy of everyone being able to congregate together because that's what it's about. It's about mental, it's about social, and let me include physical as well because I'm a big believer in yoga. So we have chair yoga on Wednesdays. So I'm always there on Wednesdays for chair yoga. So almost every day, Monday through Thursday, there's some type of stimulating because it's about stimulation. It's about having conversations. It's also about listening. It's about having compassion. And that's important as well. So I have an opportunity to hone my skills because in the past, I was an Alzheimer's director for 20 years prior to going into education. So for me, it's an opportunity to hone my skills, to listen, to share the joy of the amazing individuals that attend. So I just want to encourage everyone in the listening audience how important it is to support this service, because we want to be able to keep these services, you know, and based on budgetary complaints, if we don't use the services, Boston, guess what happens?
They get cut.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So for my listening audience, I want to encourage them.
Mm-hmm.
We have a table that's set up for puzzles. If someone just wants to do something alone, they can actually do the puzzles. But I'm a social butterfly, so I'm not into the aloneness when I go there. The music, oh my goodness. We have someone almost every other day. I want to shout out to Tom, who plays the piano. A couple of weeks ago, I had a special request. I wanted all music from Stevie Wonder.
Mm.
Did Tom come through?
Yeah, he did.
Yes, he did. I almost stood up and did a performance, but we don't want to do that. We don't want to go there. But it's a positive, nurturing environment. And that's what seasoned folks need. The volunteers, I can't even tell you how amazing the volunteers are. They're very caring, and we're talking young volunteers. I was speaking to a young man today. I'm a shout out to Kaiser.
Mm-hmm.
He might be 10 or 11 years old.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, I always thank them because I appreciate it. But again, I want to say Chef Dale is amazing. The food is number one, because again, you're talking to someone who does not like to cook. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Stephanie, we love her.
Yes, we do.
We absolutely love her. Her time is going to be short, so I don't want to get weepy about that.
Oh no.
But we most appreciate Stephanie for all the things that she does.
Yeah.
But again, for our seasoned individuals that are listening, I highly encourage them to come to the Senior Center to enjoy a meal, to hear my laughter,
mm-hmm.
because that's the first thing you're going to hear. And again, to participate in ceramics on Mondays and Wednesdays.
Mm.
Again, if you play bridge.
I like how you say that word.
If you play bridge on Monday, that's available to you.
Mm-hmm.
Again, board games on Thursdays, which is today. And I was just kind of observing today. I'm trying to get my mind ready for dominoes, because that's going to be serious. So, but we have all types of board games as well.
That's cool. Now, Aaron, I know we've mentioned this before, but obviously the congregating is a huge mm-hmm. plus, because we've spoken before about how, especially during the pandemic, when we were all locked up for like at least a year in our homes, we couldn't really do anything together. And have you seen obviously the duality of that, from nothing mm-hmm. to the seniors getting back to the seasoned, getting back to the center, and the joy that must be part of that, mm-hmm. to be able to, you know, have their friends and meet mm-hmm. and meet new friends, right? Mm-hmm. And all of that. That's really important, yeah?
Absolutely. And I mean, when we first reopened after COVID, they were like, we would get like 5 or 6 people, maybe 7 people. We're definitely in the double digits, and it's slowly growing and slowly growing. And just to see people, I mean, so many folks you lose your chops for going out in the community, and then there's so much social anxiety that's been expressed by the seniors, especially just during COVID and after COVID, worry about coming out, worried about COVID, but then also just my own mother-in-law's, my two mother-in-laws were talking, and we had a family gather, post-COVID, and we're like 20 of us or something, and I caught them talking afterwards. God, I'm exhausted. I'm not used to this anymore. Just, it's so many people and so much going on. They had to work at getting comfortable with a group of people again.
Mm-hmm.
And they were having these conversations about, I can only do an hour at a time right now. But, since then, they've both been building up. And now one of my mother-in-laws goes to the Bridge Adult Day Center, and she doesn't want to miss a day. because she enjoys getting together with her friends so much.
I'm still working on just trying to even get the hour.
You know, it's
back. It's because you kind of learn like, oh, maybe I'm okay, but you also need people, right? So it's
right.
An interesting thing to be able to do that. Now, let's just get this situated in terms of hour. I'm just going to get the hours, mm-hmm. and this is for folks who are 60 and over.
Yes.
So I've got a couple more years before I can go play bridge.
You can always volunteer and still play bridge. You know that,
true.
Right?
That's true. Okay.
You can
there
just show up and say, I'm here to volunteer, in air quotes. And
I see. Okay. Because also, you were saying this young man, Kaiser, is only like 10 or 11 and he's volunteering at the senior center?
Absolutely.
That's fantastic.
Absolutely.
That's amazing.
So what we have found in all the research shows, and there's a great study going on at the University of Fairbanks that's speaking to different groups of Alaska Native elders by region. And they've met with elders, Tlingit and Haida elders as well, mm-hmm. and generative opportunities, the opportunity to share your wisdom and your thoughts and just your being with other people of all ages, especially younger people, is one of the key components of healthy aging in the Alaska Native tradition across all of the groups of Alaska Native groups in our state. And so we're trying to create more opportunities. And so younger people coming in to help serve with their parents or in mm-hmm. a grown-up person, but they can come and they come to help serve the meal and take the plates to the seniors. The seasoned individuals. Perhaps vintage is another good word I like. Vintage individuals.
Yeah.
Because we think that they're special and I can't afford them. Just that opportunity to have those interactions and be a community. I don't want to be isolated just to people my own age. I mean, we are a community and we need opportunities to interact with all ages.
You learn so much from the seasoned, from our elders. Mm-hmm. We learn a lot if we listen, mm-hmm. if we listen, because a lot of times we sort of put, you know, those people aside and mm-hmm. and we forget that they've also had full lives and they've had many experiences mm-hmm. that can not only bring wisdom but also laughter, because mm-hmm. everybody's gone through things, right? Mm-hmm. So the details. So Monday through Thursday, what are mm-hmm. the hours, Stephanie?
Yeah, for our lunches, they're going to be 11:45 to 12:30.
Okay.
Yeah.
11:45 to 12:30. But you can show up. What time is the earliest I can get to the senior center?
Sometimes people creep in earlier than that and just hang out. And, you know, mm-hmm. We have coffee and beverages, so they can just hang out. And
okay.
We have board games and puzzles. But people at the earliest normally come around like 10:45, 11.
Okay, mm-hmm. great. That's perfect. Yeah. And so it's the lunch is the hours again for the lunch?
11:45 to 12:30.
Okay, 11:45 to 12:30. And then you can hang out after and play games. And there's classes because you're like the activities and outreach coordinator. So you're, well, at least I hear you're a short timer.
Yeah, unfortunately.
So sad.
Where are you moving out of state or what's happening?
Yeah, so I'm a Jesuit volunteer, Northwest volunteer. So I'm only going to be here for the full year, and that ends August. But I'm going to meet my hours sooner than that. So I'm going to be leaving middle of July.
And she just works so hard.
And you're heading back to your home?
Yeah, upstate New York. And
upstate
I'm doing a bit
New
of
York.
Traveling, maybe.
Oh, so, I see. Yeah. Okay, that's good. But take your Juno experiences with you,
of course,
right? Absolutely.
Yep, always.
So the activities, I know Trina mentioned a couple of those, but those are things that are set up, and those usually happen after the lunch?
Yeah, they're either before lunch or after lunch, just because that's when we get the majority of our seniors come in, so we want to make sure that they have good participation and people are engaged in that. But ceramics is kind of like before lunch and after lunch. They take like a little break, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and then bridge is after lunch, starting at 12:30. And then, of course, our music events on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday happen during lunch, which provides, like, a really nice atmosphere. Like, I know there's, like, almost an energy shift.
Well, if it's a full hour of Stevie Wonder or something,
yeah,
how do you
I know
not
how
have
you not.
Energy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Tom Volker's amazing, and Jackie Farnsworth is amazing, too.
Yeah,
so the two of them
feels
are just
more upbeat.
Really,
yeah,
they
nice.
They really make such a difference. You
that's
know?
Really cool.
And they
cool.
both come over to the Bridge Adult Day Center, too. So we've got lots of live music tailored to the tastes of the people who are there.
Now,
the
here's
day.
A question for you, Erin. This is about the future, I guess.
Okay.
Is... Because a lot of people who turn 60, which mm-hmm. is when the apparently, even unless you volunteer, right?
Right.
But when you're 60 and you can start using the senior center, you may still be working. Because
sure,
many people are not retired at that point. So obviously you can go for lunch and you can hang out for lunch, or maybe you might have time on a day off to go for some of the activities. But is there thought or potential for expanding the hours of the senior center? I know it's tough because obviously that's people you have to employ to be there, a chef to be able to cook and all that stuff. But are we ever going to maybe see Friday, Saturday, Sunday as open for the senior center?
You know, we're more likely to expand the hours that we're open on Monday through Thursday than we are to do Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And that's just a matter of funding. We have talked a lot about, like, well, if we had a, like, a really amazing volunteer, I'm not looking at anybody in the room, but if we had an amazing volunteer who wanted to be, you know, a longtime volunteer, and they wanted to say, you know, I'll keep the center open on Saturday from 10 to, you know, 10 to 1 or whatever, we'd be open to having a conversation with a special volunteer to do that. I mean, we used to be open 5 days a week, but unfortunately the funding, it just isn't there. It doesn't go as far as it used to, and it's less than it's been in a long time. And that's why we do fundraising. And I just want to say that Juno community is so, so supportive, both donations and then volunteers. We've got over like 90 volunteers. All of our meals are delivered by volunteers. Meals on Wheels are delivered by volunteers. If we didn't have those volunteers, we couldn't afford to deliver 125 meals a day.
And that's a fantastic program because it's those seniors who may not be able to get out of the house and are being part of that. So where do we find out more, Stephanie? Where can we find the Senior Center online?
For probably the most like breaking news updates, I would go on our Facebook page. It's just Juno Senior Center.
Okay.
But we also have like our hours and information about our programs on ccsak.org.
ccsak.org. Or the best thing to do is probably hit up Facebook, Juno Senior Center, where you post all the things that are happening. And if Trina can convince Tom to play a little more Stevie Wonder, you might find that out on the Facebook page. What a pleasure. Trina, I wish I could get out there over the days. I'm always prepping for my show at lunchtime. Eventually I will get over there because I want to see what's going on over there and hear that laughter. Trina Lynch Jackson, thank you so much, Gun the Cheese, for being here today.
Thank you, Boston. A pleasure.
Stephanie Dusher, pleasure to have you in Juno. You've been on the show a few times. Best of luck in your future endeavors, and all the good work that you've done here has left behind warm hearts, I'm sure.
And she'll be back. I'm sure she'll be back on Juno Afternoon to talk about the upcoming parties.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
That are happening.
Yeah. So more parties, more time.
Absolutely.
Definitely hit me up. But thank you so much, Aaron, for being here again as well. It's the Juno Senior Center, part of Catholic Community Service. You can find out more at ccsak.org or go on Facebook and search the Juno Senior Center. Gun the Cheese for being here today.
Thank you.
That's going to do it for today's Juno Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, it's Theater Day, with new shows coming in the weeks ahead from Theater Alaska's Summer Shakespeare and Juno Ghostlight Theater's 24-hour play marathon, Insomniacs, it's called. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Ok Bay 91.7. Hello, out the road. Find the show online at kto.org/JunoAfternoon. You can also find live streaming archives on the KTOO YouTube page. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Programming support for Juno Afternoon comes from listeners and viewers like you, plus Alaska Airlines Club 49, Hanson Gress, and Heritage Coffee Roasting Company. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gunnath Cheesh, and have a lovely Juno evening.